News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. And yeah, we appreciate this audience helping this show to become what it is today. We can't do it without you. So thank you to all of you Right Side ruffians out there who are listening to the show. Coming up now, I've got a special guest coming on, Ben Williamson. He's the former deputy assistant to President Trump, a senior advisor to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. And before joining the White House, Ben also served as communications director and chief of staff for then Congressman Mark Meadows. So he's worked in the upper reaches of our government. Going to have some commentary today, I hope, from him regarding last night's State of the Union. So without further ado, Ben Williamson, thanks so much for calling Right Side Radio today. How are you?
Hey, Phil, any day I get to be with the good folks of Right Side is a great day. Thanks so much. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks so much. Hey, listen, I got to ask you, so last night was State of the Union, and granted, you may have some thoughts on the content, but you've worked communications in the upper reaches of government all the way up to the White House. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the actual speech itself. Like, did you think it was a well-put-together speech? But take that and run with it.
I got to be honest, Phil, I did not. You know, I was blessed to work for a president who was very clear and very targeted in his message with what he wants to say. You know, we had a great speechwriter in the White House in Stephen Miller. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great domestic policy team that was working for us that was able to write really well and really clearly for the president. But the thing that I noticed the most about the president's speech last night was just how all over the place it was. It felt like a long sort of grocery list designed to appeal to the progressive left. Whereas I always appreciated President Trump's speeches for being very clear, very targeted, very goal-oriented for how he wanted the next year or two to look. So it was certainly a difference in the way the two presidents communicated, and an unfortunate difference at that.
Yeah, and that is definitely true, and it definitely felt like a teleprompter speech. I mean, there are times in the past when I've seen even Democrat presidents and certainly President Trump be able to look like they're off script when you know they're not off script, because they were able to engage, they're able to enjoy the moment. Last night felt like it was well rehearsed, and it felt like political theater, in my opinion.
And it came across as rehearsed, Phil. I mean, think about the message that the president was delivering versus the actual actions he's taken in the White House. I mean, this is a guy that talks about buy American. He kept saying buy American in his speech. We want to buy American goods. And meanwhile, as he does this from the podium at the State of the Union, he's buying oil from Russia, filling their coffers while he sits on 800,000 barrels of oil a day from the American Keystone Pipeline. Did you know that last year under Joe Biden, we imported 670,000 barrels of oil a day on average from Russia? We could outpace that importation from Russia by the day here in the United States if Joe Biden would just choose to do so. But he, as so often many career politicians do, he says one thing and does another, and you can't hide behind that. You can't hide behind inauthenticity, and that's how the speech came across.
No, and I agree. And when I watched that too, and tried to assess it from variety of perspectives, from a conservative pundit perspective, from a retired military perspective, from a former state legislator perspective, I kept seeing, like you said, it was disjointed and it was all over the place. And I never felt like he settled into a rhythm. There were no transitions. There were no uplifting, you know, calls to action coupled with a personalization of the topic. I mean, it just felt like it was just like cram as much in as we can get and let's get this over with. That's what it felt like.
And so I think even Joe Biden had to know at some point or another that the message he was selling simply wasn't going to resonate with Americans. I mean, he also talked about the American Rescue Plan. Your listeners may remember that.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about how much it worked. Now, that plan was passed in March of 2021. Do you know when the last month of American real wage growth increase was? In other words, when wages outpaced inflation? It was March 2021. So literally the same month that Biden passed the plan he was bragging about last night, we've had consecutive months of a decrease in real wage growth. So American workers know what's going on. Joe Biden knows that they know. So when he's up at the podium selling a message that the state of our union is strong, even a career politician like Joe Biden can't hide the results. And that's really what's going on in the country. And I think that's why you're seeing his poll numbers continue to dip. We saw this weekend 37% approval rating for Joe Biden. That's his lowest on record, while 55% disapprove. And frankly, I got to be honest, Phil, 37% seems a little high with how things are going. So it'll be interesting to see how that progresses.
No, and truthfully, in the spirit of bipartisanship, that's one of the lowest in recorded presidential timeframes, period, across both parties. Am I correct?
You're right. I think you're right. So it's a bipartisan achievement we all can recognize.
Well, yeah, you know, and I looked at the speech last night too, and I know they were going for optics. I mean, so number one, the science apparently changed, so masks were not necessary as of the 24 hours just prior to the speech. And yet the other optic that was available, aside from, oh, we don't need masks today, because he was solo with a mask on by himself just a few days prior. And now last night he's shaking hands, hugging necks, and in a room full of people that don't have masks on. But then at the same time, there were a lot of empty seats. I mean, it had that feeling of the undersold venue, if you know what I mean.
You're absolutely right. Look, theater begets theater. And so much of COVID, particularly the last year and a half with this administration, has been theater. I mean, isn't it interesting? You're right. That on February 28th, masks are apparently critical enough where Joe Biden has to wear one outside walking to Marine One, the helicopter on the North Lawn. But on March 1st, everyone can gather in a room and they're allowed to not have masks sitting behind Joe Biden, in front of Joe Biden, wherever. It's just the science isn't involved here. The only kind of science they're really dealing with is political science. And that's what's really governing the day for the left and Democrats. It's unfortunate, but hopefully we can start to move in the right direction when folks come out and vote in 2022 and continue to make their voices heard throughout this year and beyond.
Well, and that's absolutely necessary. I mean, I talk to my audience all the time about recognizing that 2022 midterms are coming. Do not take your eye off the prize. Find the most conservative candidate you feel comfortable with and vote them in as best you can. We've got to do that. And even though Alabama is a largely red state, being a conservative and being a Republican are not always the same thing. So that's why they need to assess their candidates and go for the best.
Phil, I had an old teacher in politics that used to say, you can't fix stupid, but thank the good Lord you can beat it in an election. So we've got a big task in front of us over this next year. There are good candidates running all across the country. I know Donald Trump himself has endorsed a good many of them. Voters will vote in who they choose best, but it's going to be a task. We've got a lot of work of us ahead of us as Americans to fix the right. And listen, President Trump has said it too. This is above partisanship in terms of how the country does. We want the country to do well. He wants Joe Biden to do well. I know he's on the first row wanting the president to be successful so that Americans can be successful. But if the politicians in office are going to get the job done, it's going to be our job to make a change. And I know your listeners are engaged. You're engaged, and I'm going to do my best to stay engaged as well.
Well, and you are, and Ben, I appreciate you being on today. And let me just say too, that I know you've got a longstanding relationship, both professional and personal, I'm sure, with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. I was at a small event with him not long ago, and heard him address the group of us that were there in D.C. And he talked about the fact that when it came to the Trump tax cuts, he was shocked, even himself, he was shocked when he and Jim Jordan basically kind of scratched out an idea, sent a memo, just the two of them, to President Trump, who was able then to help use that to craft the Trump tax cuts. And the point being in Congressman Meadows' speech was even a couple of people can actually have an influence or make a difference. And I think that's something that people overlook too often, is that one person, a couple of people can still get in there and do something and make a difference.
It is one of my favorite stories from 7 years of working for Mark Meadows. You're right. Was the moment when he and Jim Jordan were able to influence a tax reform bill. One guy from North Carolina, the mountains of North Carolina, another guy from the plains of Ohio were able to walk in, take some concerns directly from the American people to the president of the United States. And it shows that, and one other thing. It shows, number one, how great of a listener Donald Trump is. He wanted people to bring to him ideas from all over the country. But two, what you said, just piggybacking off of that, that the idea that two people like that that represent people from the heartlands of the country could come in and have such a great impact, it is such a great example for how all politics really is local, and the critical importance of staying involved and making your voices heard.
Well, Ben, thank you for being on today. Let me ask you this before you go. I mean, I can't have somebody like you on the show who's been in the upper reaches of government and ask you, do you have any favorite anecdotes? Is there a memory you have of being in the Oval Office or working in those confines, which are significant, and they are something that, you know, is steeped in history. Is there any particular moment you remember where you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm here?
Oh, my goodness, there are way too many. I mean, being on Air Force One for the first time is something that I'll never be able to get over experiencing. Just being around all the history in the White House, experiencing that moment where you're on the plane with the president was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I think the other two that I would give you, just for the benefit of your listeners, if your listeners have never had the chance to go to a Trump rally, or they've never had the chance to go to a rally and sit as close to the president as they can, I tell you what, it is an experience of a lifetime being able to hear from somebody who puts America first, but more importantly, just being able to be around like-minded patriots who love their country and really want to get behind the values that made this country great. That was my first one that I was able to go to when I was in the White House. Was a great experience. And then the second one that I always kind of laugh about was, you know, one time the president had sent a tweet. I don't remember exactly what the tweet was, but we were all kind of standing around him, and the media was going crazy about the tweet. And he just kind of leaned back in his chair and he said, you know, the media doesn't like me very much, do they? And a couple of us kind of looked up and we said, hey, you know, not all the time, Mr. President. And he goes, you know what? That's okay, because I came here to do the right thing, and I don't really care what the media says a lot of times. And that's kind of embodied the Trump administration and what he was there to do. He wasn't there to please Washington, D.C. or the political press. He was there to fight for the forgotten men and women. And so I always laugh about that story. It's one that I always think about. I remember White House days fondly.
That's good stuff. All right. Well, Ben, this has been refreshing, man. And thank you for spending a few minutes of your time with us today here at Right Side Radio. And listen, Ben Williamson, former Deputy Assistant to President Trump, Senior Advisor to Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, thanks for your time. You have a great day.
You too, Phil. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Well, that was a great segment. That was enjoyable. We're going to go ahead and move to a break right now. But let me just tell you, I hope what you heard there was someone who's actually been in it. You know, it's one thing for me to be out here to encourage you of things that I think are there, which I think are there. It's another one to hear somebody who's just a dude who worked in the upper reaches of the White House, who literally, I read his bio earlier, he just started off working in Mark Meadows' congressional campaign. Wound up kind of hanging around, working with Congressman Meadows. Congressman Meadows wound up becoming the chief of staff to the White House. He went with him. At one point, he was the acting communications director for the White House. How cool is that? And he's telling you, by the way, that it was an experience of a lifetime that he'll always appreciate. I mean, that's just cool. All right, folks, listen, more of that to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.